This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
We have a blitz program today. We're on until 12:30, which means we're going to pack a punch here, Michael. Sean Keeler will join us from the Denver Post later this hour. We'll also get into, I want to get into more details on the 5-for-5 thing, the U.S. District Judge Charlotte Sweeney responding to the NCAA's request for clarity on this ruling. So I want to get to that because I had a fascinating conversation with UNC head football coach Ed Lamb about that today. And he said, and I quote, "The NCAA has their sights set on UNC." Yeah. We'll talk about why UNC is in that conversation. All that and more coming up next. The whole show starts right now. Show. I am Brady Hull. We got Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. And I wanted to clarify that because, Michael, I did tweet that out earlier and people were starting to. I tweeted out that the NCAA has their sights set on UNC, or I said on Greeley, Colorado, actually. And I, after giving that a second thought, Mike, I decided to take it down because I think there were a lot of people wondering, what happened in the sports world that pertains to Greeley that could be seen in a negative light. So I did take the tweet down.
Feels like a revenge to me. Feels like, well, if you're going to sue us, then we're going to investigate you.
Well, it's more of a, I joked with Ed Lamb this morning because they've got like an amendment in this Protect College Sports Act that's going to be like the Lane Kiffin rule. If you leave your team while in season, which includes postseason, there's going to be penalties for that. Like, almost maybe even a suspension where you can't coach immediately. So if someone hires you, they have to be good with you sitting out a year. On this, the 5-for-5 rule that Brock Wisney, former UNC Bear, there's the tie-in, if you haven't been following along. I think there might be something, there would be something in this clause. I don't think it's going to be part of the Protect College Sports Act, but it would basically be the Wisney rule. And that's weird because Brock Wisney's like, the least likely dude you would look at and say, yeah, he's going to end up in a lawsuit with the NCAA.
Yeah, he's, I mean, he put up with me. Now, so that says a lot about his character.
Now, I didn't ask the attorney this, Michael, when we had her on. What was that, last week? I do find it interesting that to get this done, they got it done through Colorado. They needed to have a, what, Colorado player. And that just, Brock Wisney fit that bill pretty clearly. He played 4 straight years, no red shirt, nothing. And then he would have fit this for the 5th year. So how did they come in contact? Brock just doesn't strike me as the guy that's looking for these kind of battles. But, you know, and again, I agree with him. Why did the NCAA and why are they fighting so hard on this one, you think? They are fighting harder on this one than I've seen them fight over any of the lawsuits that they've, and this is the most obvious one, Mike. There's two ways they could have went about this. This 5-for-5 rule. Basically, you get five seasons after you turn, is it 19? After you turn 19, or once you turn 19, or as soon as you enroll, whichever comes first is their language there. There were two ways they could have done this. Do the math, go back, and go to 2022, the class that graduated in 2022, it would make sense that there would be a possibility of a 5th year there. If they played 4 full years, they would then have a 5th year. Or you cut it now. Excuse me. You cut it now. You just say, from now on, if you enroll in college to play athletics, you get 5 years. Why did they go back at all? If this, we knew this was going to be an issue. if you do the math, it makes sense that it wouldn't go much further than 2022, right, Mike? Because you can't play. You would have been in college longer. You would maybe redshirt, maybe whatever. But it was supposed to be five years to play five seasons. So why not just simply do the math, go back, because they allowed for 2023. This works for people that graduated in 2023, then 24, and then 25, but not 2022. And that's why it impacted Brock Wisney. So it's crazy to me that they didn't just simply look at that and say, how far do we need to go back if we are in fact going back? Or to simplify this, why not simply say this rule is intact right now? It doesn't affect anyone before this rule was done. So from now on, so like I would have said this, Michael, like Steve Smiley's son, Madden Smiley, is playing for Wyoming. I would have said anybody that has already signed a letter of intent or commitment to play, it doesn't count for you. So it would go against Madden being able to be given this 5-for-5 thing. But that's how you simplify it and avoid lawsuits, is you simply just say, this is only going to be for athletes that will sign once this agreement is done, and anybody that signs after, that commits after. Why did the NCAA just not do that?
I don't think their law firm is very good.
They're terrible.
They need someone wise a fan who can tell them, hey, this is a bad idea. They need a former student who can tell them, you know what, maybe not do it this way.
I think they're just listening to themselves. I brought this up with Ed. This is, to me, here's the bigger issue that they didn't fight for at all. In fact, they ruled in a very negative way. The story of Eric Gibson, and I'll retell the story. Eric Gibson played quarterback for the UNC Bears last year. And he obviously got the job because the starting quarterback, Peter Castelli, went down. Eric Gibson went on to have a pretty good year, successful season for the Bears. He believed he had another season of eligibility because he went to LSU. LSU invited him to come to their team and basically be on the team. And so he enrolls at LSU. They then tell him, never mind, bait and switch. They basically throw a wide net out, see how many dudes they can get there to try out, all that stuff. Eric Gibson was one of them. He gets there. He gets on a practice field, I think, once, and then he's already enrolled at LSU, and they basically tell him, never mind. We don't have a spot for you. So what does he do? He goes to LSU. He's going to school, not playing football. The NCAA counted that as a year of eligibility. LSU, to my knowledge, actually admitted that they screwed that up in a communication with UNC. And I talked to Coach Lamb on the podcast. It's on the podcast, Football 52. And he's like, you know, we could have released the email, but we didn't. And they took the higher road, I suppose. So UNC doesn't really fight it, but they are appealing it. They're asking the NCAA, hey, could you reconsider? At that time, Coach Lamb had already told Eric Gibson and Peter Castelli, who was going to be a Bear, both were going to be Bears, told Peter Castelli, we are going to go with Eric Gibson as the starting quarterback next year. Well, what does Castelli do? Castelli says, oh, wow, well, I kind of want to go somewhere where I have a real shot to be the starter. Like, I can go somewhere instantly and be the starter. And Ed shakes his hand and says, man, I wish you best. Peaceful breakup. They move on. Peter Castelli enters the transfer portal and leaves. But then the NCAA says, hey, Eric Gibson, you don't have a year of eligibility, even though you didn't play, even though you weren't even on the roster. So Eric is playing D2 college football and has to leave the Bears. So you screwed over a school that committed to a guy that they thought for sure, slam dunk, that didn't count as a year of eligibility. He'll be able to play. So they tell him that, and then they inform the backup quarterback of that. So they lose two quarterbacks in one day. And the NCAA didn't give it a second thought. They They dismissed it, moved right along. No, there's no appeal to be had here. No. And yet, Brock Wisney's camp is pushing for this 5-for-5 rule. Brock Wisney's saying, hey, I played 4 full years. I was a freshman, and I played. A sophomore, and I played. Junior, and I played. Senior, and I played. I did not get hurt. I did not have a freshman redshirt. I played 4 years. Why are you giving people that graduated in 2023, why are you letting them in on this? Because I should technically have another year. And this judge comes in and says, yeah, you should get another year. Well, it looked like victory. Everyone that I talked to said, well, Brock's probably going to enter the transfer portal now. Michael, can you look up when is the NCAA basketball transfer portal? Because if you didn't enter that portal at that time, and I don't believe Brock Wisney did, I could be wrong on that, but I don't believe he did, they would make no exception. So they would say, you're just going to, you're eligible again, but you can just go back to the school that you were playing with.
It begins April 7th.
Okay,
it began April 7th of 2026.
If you didn't enroll in April, and Brock at that point probably, he's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm done playing college. And then he signs his contract with Spain. Well, the NCAA pushed back. The judge had to come out and basically clarify and say, you can't have signed a professional contract, even though you didn't play. You can't have signed a professional contract, or you can't transfer unless you already entered your name in the portal in April. But again, why would Brock Wisney enter his name in the portal in April? I don't even know if he knew who this lawyer was back in April. My bet would be that he did not. So he doesn't enter the portal. And I know some people at home are like, well, what's so wrong with just playing for the Bears then? If he didn't sign a professional contract, stay at UNC. We hate transfer portal crap anyway. Well, okay. Played 4 full years with the Bears. According to his former coach, Steve Smiley, the guy was probably going to make bank. If he entered the portal, he was a well-sought-after guy. The market for him is big. So he could have made, I don't know, Mike, $500,000? $1 million? That's pretty significant for a guy that probably wasn't getting anything close to that. And to do it for 1 year. And this is where, again, I won't go off on my tangent here, but this is, I do agree with portions of NIL and portions of transfer portal stuff. In this case, I would say, yeah, if you're Brock Wisney and you were in the portal and a power kind of conference is looking at you saying, we'll give you $500,000 as opposed to much less at UNC. I think even the coaching staff, and I think Smiley even said that on his podcast, The Two-Man Game, where he even said, yeah, I'm not going to fault the guy. Yeah, go play. Go make money. But because the judge had to clarify, since he signed a professional contract to go play in Spain, he can't come out of that contract. He can't resume college play. So then he can't even look at UNC. Now, I do agree, for the most part, that if you declare for the draft, if you sign a professional contract, but then you have second thoughts and you want out of that contract, I do agree with the principle of once you sign it, you're done being a collegiate athlete. I do agree with that. But in this case, because Brock Wisney didn't know, I don't even think he was involved in this lawsuit at all during all those times. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. I do believe he didn't know anything about this in April when he could have put his name in the transfer portal. I do believe that. But I think in this case, they should make one giant exception, and the NCAA is digging their heels in, almost making a point, as discussed on Football 52 this morning, almost trying to make an example of Brock Wisney. And that's why I tied that to UNC. He's not with UNC anymore. But almost to make an example of, we're not going to lose every fight. And this is one we think we can win. And it's the most ridiculous one to try to win because it was mismanaged from the get-go. You either say, this rule starts now. Anybody that already committed and is going to college doesn't apply to you because this is a new thing. Now, could they have been sued by current players that signed and said, I didn't know that going in, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, but I would actually think the NCAA could win that case. Or you do the math and you go back to 2022. Instead, you cut the line at 2023 for some stupid reason. And that's why we're in this mess of a situation. Of a very simple situation. I agree with the NCAA saying we're going to do a new 5-for-5 rule. Basically, give you 5 years to play. If you get hurt, tough cookies. If you get hurt and can't play for a season, it still doesn't count. It does count as a year. So I do agree with that because I get confused talking about red shirts and going through all that and what class you're in, blah, blah, blah. But the way they enforced that rule and the language of that rule is another misstep by the NCAA. These lawyers that are representing Brock Wisney caught wind of this, went after the NCAA. They won, theoretically. They did win, but it's also very, very messy. Because how many of these players involved in the lawsuit actually entered the portal? And Coach Lamb is at an interesting spot right now because he has a few players. He didn't name those players, but he has a few players that ran out of eligibility, but they run into the 2023 class, so they could come back essentially and play. But for Coach Lamb, I asked him this question. I said, the NCAA is really fighting this. And, the players are back in 2023, but they didn't sign a pro contract yet. Excuse me, not 2022, or 2022. There we go. They didn't sign a pro contract, so they could play another year. Well, I asked Coach Lamb, I said, well, what's stopping you from just bringing those guys back onto the roster right now? And he said the NCAA, essentially, because we don't know if this is going to hold up, if they're going to reappeal. I think they've already appealed all of it. But they wanted the clarification for the now. But they will be fighting this, Mike. They will continue to fight this. So if you're Ed Lamb or Jay Sovell, who Cody Tucker told us about in Wyoming, they can't really say, hey, come on back. Because then maybe the NCAA, if they do win, they could come back and say something like, you're in trouble because you brought those guys back and we ended up winning this. So now the school's in trouble. Or I asked this question. Could they pull a Brendan Sorsby type thing that the Big 12 was considering with Sorsby? Like, okay, the NCAA, you're allowing this guy to play even though he gambled on sports. But as a conference, we might punish you as a team. So could the NCAA, even if they lose, which it sounds like they will, could the NCAA then look at those schools and say, if you play any of these kids that graduated in 2022... you will be punished for that. Even though it's legal for them to be on your team, but if they actually step foot on the field, we might do something.
It kind of sounds ridiculous.
Then there'd be another lawsuit. But yes, yeah, technically the NCAA could do something like that.
There'd be another lawsuit. UNC would win, but those players would get screwed.
Correct. And this is why it's just a giant mess, and I do agree Congress needs to be involved. I know I don't think you agree with me on this. I do think Congress needs to be involved in the NCAA.
I worry quite a bit with Congress being involved because they have a history of sucking at their job.
But the NCAA is really bad, Mike. They're really bad. They're worse than I thought. I've been after them for a long time on this show. And this ruling, and it's not just because of my personal relationship with Brock. I think he's just going to end up playing in Spain anyway. This was idiotic, the way they went about this. Absolutely idiotic. And I don't trust them as an organization. I didn't trust them anyway, but I have zero trust that they're gonna lead the Protect College Sports Act. I know Congress is drawing that bill up and they would be in charge of it. I would rather them be in charge of it than anyone at the NCAA. It's just they're incompetent, Mike. More so than anything you can give crap. I get it politically. People could talk about Congress all day. It can't be any worse than what we're seeing with the NCAA.
And my only argument for having them involved is there's a lot of taxpayer money involved. It's not like, you know, something with this station where taxpayers aren't paying us.
They draw up the bill and then they don't have to do anything anymore. And then that gives the NCAA has the bill now and That's what will be followed in court. If there are lawsuits, this is these are the facts. This was drawn up, so they would go through that. I don't think there'll still be lawsuits
no matter what.
There will be. Yes, but now this Protect College Sports Act would essentially protect them from a lot of these would-be lawsuits. 25 minutes after the hour. Fascinating. It really got me going on that this morning. A very good episode of Football 52 with Ed Lamb today.
Which will be available at noon.
Where can they find it, Mike?
Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 13... hang on.
Yeah, here we go.
1310 KFKA...
Boy, it's going to be tough.
You do it.
No, you're the guy that does this. You can find him on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. 25 after the hour. Sean Keeler going to join us at the bottom of this hour. Again, short show today, so we've got about an hour left already. Keep it right here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe, on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310kfka.
You know, you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime.
Ooh, anytime that you want me.
Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and The Whole Show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Hey, reminder, you got about 30 minutes to pop over to Big City Roadhouse and pick up their breakfast burritos. I highly recommend them. They are delicious. Micah, you've seen it in person. You didn't order the breakfast burrito that day, but I did.
I beheld its glory.
It was amazing. And I ate everything. That's what made me think I could do the hot dog eating contest, honestly. Because I devoured that thing. It's huge.
Yeah, but then you failed. Miserably.
I failed miserably. I did, really. But Big City Roadhouse, they do breakfast burritos every day from 10 a.m. to noon. And now they're doing brunch on the weekends. You cannot go wrong. Every Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., French toast, Belgian waffles, chicken and waffles, Roadhouse Rancheros, breakfast burgers. Oh, my goodness. Is it Saturday yet? That's what I'm asking. Big City Roadhouse. Check them out online at bigcityroadhouse.com if you want to see their full menu. 30 minutes after the hour, Keeling Me Softly coming up next with Sean Keeler. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most. Local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
Some call him genius, legend, ladies' man, the best to ever observe the game. We want to keep him humble. So we call him Sean. This is Keeling Me Softly with Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler.
We call him Sean. We call him Sean. Sean Keeler with the Denver Post. It is time once again for our weekly chat. And you had a really interesting chat, it sounds like, talking to Rams coaching legend Sonny Lubick the other day, Sean.
I did. It was car wash day. By the way, thank you for having me. Good afternoon. Hello. I don't know how my sound is because
I sound wonderful.
I'm from the first time reporting to you from the new media / observation deck at Broncos Park, powered by Common Spirit. I am looking at a full bleachers right now in front of me and various Bronco-y things. But no, yesterday was car wash day. At CSU, and so by that I mean whatever media was not here was getting a turn there to talk to Jim Mora, and actually it was the kind of thing where Mora and I just kind of went off the cuff because we're both chatty Cathys with big shock. And he was mentioning Sonny, or I mentioned Sonny to him, and he said, oh yeah, you recruited me. He didn't remember they recruited me in high school. We had this long kind of rabbit hole discussion about that. So I knew Snow Sonny, and so I called him up and said, "Okay, tell me about Jim as a high schooler." And he kind of said, "Well, I don't remember, you know, like he's 89, bless him." But he's like, "Well, he's a scrappy kid and da da da." And you know, it's there at DenverPost.com. But they go back 46 years. Mora was a pimply teenager playing in Bellevue, Washington, when he first met Sonny, and they've kind of been in contact off and on ever since. And Sonny tried to get him to go to Montana State, and as we know, he did not go to Montana State. So the rest is history, as Sonny put it. Now they're both back under the green and gold umbrella, and it's a big tent, and they're having a good time with it.
It is interesting. We keep running into these stories where it seemed like Jim Mora was supposed to be around, whether it's Sonny Lubick or connected to CSU in some fashion, because you know,
or
Jim,
you, yeah, or how many
right,
times
sure
he mentioned himself, yeah, he was up for the CU job.
Well, and
a couple times, and didn't get it, and wanted it. So he's been dancing with this area for a while.
He has, and he'd also mentioned the time he was interested in CSU before they ultimately went on to hire Steve Addazio too. So it all is really fascinating, Sean, yeah, that he ended up here the way it worked out.
It did, and Sonny made that point too, and he's like, "Well, you know, you just never know. You hang in long enough, it's the you get this." Skip Prosser, the late, great Skip Prosser, was someone I used to cover about 30 pounds ago in my 20s, and I was a bachelor then. And I'm happily not one now. My wife is less happy, of course. But he said to me, I bring that up with Mora because Prosser said to me once that dating was like shopping for shoes. There's a fit for everybody. If you just keep shopping long enough, you're going to find something. Some people just take a little longer than others, and he was looking at me, obviously, at the time. But I think with Mora, sometimes you end up where you're supposed to be, and sometimes it takes you a little longer to find the girl of your dreams. And now Harry met Sally, and she looks like a ram. So we'll see how that goes. But no, Sonny likes it. You know, I think Sonny's always pretty optimistic and still loves CSU, despite how that kind of ended at the very end there, and wants to see him do well and wants to see him get back to where they were when he was there. And that's kind of the eternal question at CSU, isn't it? Is not only can we find another Sonny, can we get Sonny that era back? And I've had former administrators and staffers who are no longer there say to me they didn't think they could. Mora thinks he can, so I'm curious if he will.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've said this before. You know, CSU was going into the Pac-12. They were, to me, one of the least interesting teams going in with the way things happened with Jay Norvell. And then they hire Jim Mora, and suddenly I think they're the most interesting team now going into the Pac-12. Who knows how it's going to work, but I guess time will tell. Sean, you're out there at Broncos camp today. Nick Bonito, is he okay?
Yeah, he's walking. Walking is
good.
That
doesn't sound amazing, Sean.
He's not amazing. He's been better. I think the headline should be, if the headline is accurate today, that won't be. It will be, Nick Bonito has been better. He's in sweats mode. I think Wattenberg's still in sweats mode. We got kind of a three or four starters in sweats mode today. I wouldn't panic about that. He's moving okay. You know, Bo's moving better than him, to be fair. He said to keep an eye on that ankle. Looks good so far. Nobody stepped on it, so you know, knock on wood.
Stay away. Are there cones around his ankle? You know, to make sure nobody goes near it.
Willie Snead, put them down very carefully. It's been big. You get beat writers bless them. I mean, there's a certain, you know, it's a great, beats working, it's a great job. But there is a may not need to train in camp, as you would imagine. You have to find ways to beat yourselves. And so the beat writers are now getting to timing wide receivers coach Willie Snead and when he puts down the cones and when to what speed he's going to set up drills. He's enthusiastic, which helps. No, I think Bo is an ongoing thing. So there's I'm putting my the guy from Laughlin, the Gary Owens. Here's your report on Bo. So far, so good. 4 for 5 against air today. 4 for 5 against really no defense coming to get him. So good job so far. Now he's been all right. And Bonito, we'll see. I think you have to be cautious. It's August, what, 5th? 5th.
Yeah.
We got miles to go before we sleep. So I think you got to take the long view. And if some of these guys who have to play for you, I'm going to sneeze in the outdoors. You can tell I don't get to training camp. Get
allergic
to stuff. Yeah, so thank you. Some of the guys who are going to be important. Oh, we got to pick guys who are going to be, yep, defense might win today, too. Some of the guys who are going to be really important for you after September 10th, you need to be thinking with a long view in mind. And so I don't get, as much as the fans who are here and it's a packed bleachers, want to see as many stars as they can. It's about week one. It's not about the now.
Sean Keeler joining us, Denver Post. Well, I saw a story, Atlanta Falcons edge rusher Jalen Walker tore his ACL. So, yeah, you want to be really careful at this point when you get a whiff of any kind of thing that could end your season. Well,
how many guys, a couple years ago, was it Sutton? How many times have we seen
Oh, yeah,
season?
Yeah.
There's been, like, something pops, and there goes the season right after one. I think Sean knows. Again, there are things about Sean that drive you crazy. There are a lot of things that drive you crazy, but when it comes to maintaining the long view and the marathon and not a sprint, I think Sean is going to go with some discretion with the people to whom that discretion matters. And that's wise. He's a lot of things, but he's also pretty wise when it comes to that. So I'm looking at Benito right now. He's directing the defense. He's happy as a clam, just not running.
Well, okay. So not the best news in the world, but not the worst news in the world. So we'll take it. We'll take that for now. Sean, I wanted you to, while we have here, a few minutes left, the PSL plan. What is going on with this? You wrote about this on August 3rd. I need you to explain this to me, what the Broncos are basically trying to do to season ticket owners. Explain it to me like I'm five.
Okay, fine. my wife explains things to me like I'm four. So I can do that. So since the late 90s, early aughts, and this is something that actually started in the NBA, I found out there's a concept called personal seat licenses. And the Broncos have not locked this down, but they have said out loud, because someone asked them Saturday during that massively hot outdoor practice here, where are you guys at with personal seat licenses, which are a tax or a cover charge for the right to then buy a season ticket. It is a fee in front of your fee. So to be on that list, you first must pay for the right to be considered to be on that list. It is an additional layer. Payments. If you are a business, when I wrote that thing Monday, the Denver Post, and it posted late Monday, early Tuesday, I got all kinds of different reactions based on your view of Reaganomics. I have a few small business owners who went, "Why are you ripping the teams with this? They're paying for the stadium with their own money." This is a concept that season ticket holders don't love, but it's become an NFL reality. I believe 21 of the 32 teams have it right now, and especially in cases where the stadiums are privately funded, this is a way, and the costs vary, explained to you at your five. You could have to pay anywhere from $700 to $50,000 once, depending on the location of your season ticket, for the right to have that for, say, 15 to 30 years. Buffalo is using that to pay for Highmark Stadium that they're building, or to help defray. Well, they won't pay for it, but to help offset the cost. And the Broncos are widely expected, even though they are very wealthy, to turn back to the season ticket holders. And instead of going to the taxpayers for a publicly funded or partially publicly funded stadium, well, in essence, what you get is something that is partially season ticket funded, because that money then goes back into the stadium construction and over and what have you. So it's a tax, basically, on season ticket holders to try to scratch some of that money that you didn't get from taxpayers back. Does that make sense?
It does.
That might not be while you're five. So it's better than putting it to a public vote, but it ain't great. And if you're a season ticket holder of a certain age and certain vintage, and you can read the piece up on DenverPost.com, I reached out to two of the older ones I know. One had tickets since 1987. One had tickets since 1965. They're not amused. And they're not very young either. So I think it's a cash grab. But and the people who like Reaganomics will tell you it's a necessary evil, and you just have to figure out a way to mitigate it, because you can also, kind of like a car loan, or a car note, you can go to a bank, you can get payments for this, because in many cases you have to. It basically is like a car note. You are putting a down payment on your down payment to put down season tickets. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's the concept of it is really weird to me, but who knows, Sean. Sean, what are you going to be? So you're at Broncos camp today. Are you going to be floating around campus at Fort Collins? Are you going to go to Colorado Springs and see the Buffs in action? What's next for you?
I'm gonna tell people to keep an eye out on DenverPost.com for that this weekend, but I'm going to do a little bit of both. I'm definitely going to be floating. I don't know if I'll get back up to CSU this week, but there's possibility of the Springs tomorrow and possibility of more camp here later this week. I gotta get the Knicks ankle updates for you. You gotta
have them. That's it. I don't want to hear about anything else. If anyone gets fired or anything, I don't want to hear about it. I just want to hear about the ankle.
That's what Peyton Watson told me.
Yeah.
Sean. I called him up and said, I don't care about my contract. How's Bo's ankle? I said, Peyton, how you doing? I said, it's good. How's the ankle? It's great.
Is that a real story?
Peyton Watson?
Yeah.
It's a lot realer story to Bo's ankle right now.
Sean, appreciate you as always, my man. Love your stuff, dude. You're all over the place, and you speak to me with all these articles. I love it. Great information as always, so appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate the time. Be good.
All right, Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. PSL plan. Michael basically put a down payment on it so you can get season tickets.
I don't like that. Although I like it better than taxpayers having to pay for the stadium.
You make the people that are going to the games essentially help pay for the stadium, right?
I mean, that's probably how it should be, because the benefit is more for the people at the games rather than for the taxpayers in general.
I agree with you. I'd kind of agree with you. I don't really hate it, because I go Pokes texting, and new stadiums are expensive. You can't seriously think a billionaire group is going to foot the bill. That's not how you become a billionaire. I tend to agree. Like, don't punish and tax people that aren't going to go, but those that are very interested in going to Broncos games all the time, I guess it kind of makes sense. Now, season ticket holders might disagree with me and say, I got to pay more for the tickets I already have. I guess maybe I don't know how to answer that. If you are a season ticket holder and you're pissed about it, it is tough for me to say, hey, go ahead and pay me more for what you already have.
A lot of season ticket owners might be really upset and give up their season tickets, but I'd rather that happen, because the entire city isn't benefiting from the new Broncos field at Mile High, the new Broncos field at Mile High. They might benefit a little bit, but overall, it's a ripoff to them. So I think the owners should pay for it themselves. It's going to have to be through various different things. So you might see beer go up a bit.
Well, I guess you can tell those fans, like, hey, we have to have a new stadium at some point. We have to. And some would say, well, why do they need one? Why do they need a new stadium? Well, to keep up with the times.
Yeah, do they really need a new stadium? They don't need a new stadium.
Well, it's like we didn't need
a
new building.
A new
we didn't need a new building to do the radio from, Michael, but we kind of did at the same time. But we could have still done it in downtown.
Yeah, but we didn't like mice.
Right, we didn't like mice. Needed
well,
a better place to do our...
you were afraid of them, I wasn't.
Yeah, you're afraid of everything else. 49 minutes after the hour, I almost made a bad joke. 11:49, the time. Let's take a quick break. Wrap up hour number one.
Was it a cruel joke?
Yeah.
See, I'm not cruel to you guys.
No, of course
not. I just make dumb jokes.
Yes, you do. At least you admit it.
To torture you.
You admit it, finally.
Well, some of them are great. Some of them are terrible.
Keep it here.
Football, volleyball, and all the preps fall sports you can handle. Listen to Coach Speak weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Shout out to a great sponsor of ours, Renaissance Insurance Group. If you guys are in the market for farming operations, you're in the workers' compensation field or area, whatever your needs are, Renaissance Insurance is going to take care of you. Commercial, personal, risk management, they specialize in that. They are an independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence, which means they're local, but they have the tools to pretty much tackle any insurance need that you have. That's Renaissance Insurance. Check them out at team-rig.com or 970-674-8825. I want to get back to a couple of texts here. Faith texting in earlier on our discussion about the NCAA. The NCAA governs things just as bad as Adam Silver does the NBA. That's a good poll question. Who's worse, the NCAA governing body or Adam Silver?
Faith, that is really, really mean and also kind of true.
It's not that mean. It's just true.
Now, comparing anyone to Adam Silver, the
NCAA is basically a bunch of Adam Silvers just running around. Like, let's confuse everybody as much as possible. Let's do the opposite of what you think is logical and then take our lumps and get sued for it.
I wouldn't say necessarily running around because since Adam Silver looks like a villain from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and that villain kind of like floating around.
See, that what you said is mean. That's more mean.
He does.
That's
he's like skinny and bald and weird looking.
Can't help what he looks like, Michael.
I'm sure when he smiles, like sound goes out of the room.
See, you're just being.
He steals people from their beds.
You're being mean. Although, yeah, he does strike me as the kind of guy that would freak me out. He strikes me as the kind of guy that would freak me out.
You'd help win you an Emmy for best TV show.
That's a sneaky good show right there, Michael. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I used to make fun of it, kind of like I made fun of Game of Thrones before I started watching it, and I was like, oh.
Pretty good.
It's actually pretty
good. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Pretty good.
Kind of went downhill real fast,
at the end, when I was watching at that point. I was just like, oh, fighting vampires and Sarah Michelle Gellar. Like, that's Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
When they found out that, like, the military knew about monsters, that's when it started going downhill.
I don't even remember. I remember, like, the first two seasons, I think.
I think that was, like, season 3 or 4.
Michael, coming up next, we'll get to top stories of the day. We've only got 30 minutes. The Rockies had a tough one last night, man. Hopefully they can bounce back and get a dub today. We'll get into some of that coming up on the other side. Also, just kind of the training camp buzz around the league. We will not be doing our AFC West deep dive today. We were going to go all things Chargers. We'll do that tomorrow since it's a short show. So we'll jump in on that too. Also, CSU, they started fall practice today. Got the email last night and what time they were doing it. So I did not get out to CSU practice today. Had other things to do. Had the Football 52 podcast with Ed Lamb. Wouldn't miss it for the world. But I will be going to CSU practice on Tuesday. So I'll give you a full report from there. More texters coming in, too. We'll read those on the other side. Keep it here on the whole show. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.